It is raspberry season. The canes that I planted 8 years ago are frankly showing off. For the past 2 weeks, I've spent many, many evenings picking buckets of plump, juicy, warm, sweet berries. I picked some this morning to share with you. I have the scratches on my arms and the stains between my toes that prove it. You could argue that an old pair of worn-out Birkenstocks are the wrong footwear for this task, but I would keep wearing them. I also know the difference between the sound of a fluffy bumblebee and the noise of a wasp. I've learned how to navigate the relentless thistles that return no matter how many times I pull them out, and the sharp spines on the canes. I have discovered the brown marmorated stink bug, an invasive species. Don't squish it. And aphids and fruit fly larvae. I have felt the temperature drop abruptly and watched the clouds churn as a storm rolled in. I laugh at my dog and cat chasing one another in circles around me. I've also seen the sun go down, painting the sky a beautiful, unexpected orange and lavender in what my dad's old art teacher would call an unrealistic color for the sky. As I've lingered in the berries, I've come to appreciate and rest in the mystery that is creation. Sun and rain and soil, and a few sticks planted years ago, now producing this bounty. This bounty that I will eat straight from the canes or from the bucket, on top of ice cream, sprinkled with sugar and splashed with cream, or in jam or pie. Fruit that I will freeze and use in smoothies for months to come, bringing the memories, goodness, warmth, and the joy of these evenings with them. It's just picking berries. It's not magic, but I'm changed by this rhythm. I'm nurtured by this practice. For me, at times, praying looks like picking berries, especially now. My journey into the world, like yours, my attempts to be brighter and a bringer of peace to this wounded and wailing creation have left me weary. I'm sad, and I'm angry, oh, so angry, as I watch the news. I see photos, I walk down the street, I tend to the ill and heartbroken in the hospital where I work, and I come home and I pick raspberries, and I'm nurtured. As we enter into Luke's passage today, we join the disciples who had recently returned from their first mission of bringing the peace of Jesus into a world both very different and yet so similar to ours. Their world was broken, fighting, filled with chaos and violence, and the unending fight for money and power. Feels awfully familiar. The disciples return to Jesus weary, and their question isn't about better equipment, new cloaks, fresh wine skins, or additional skills like how do we stay relevant, or help us with our public speaking. Rather, their request is, Lord, teach us to pray. These disciples had grown up in Jewish communities, culture, and religion, and would have had a lot of teaching and instruction on prayer throughout their lives. Clearly, the practice and the patterns of Jesus modeled a different kind of prayer, a kind of prayer that their recent trip out into the world had shown them was essential for sustaining them as they fulfilled their calling to the Great Commission. Scripture repeatedly tells us that Jesus went off by himself to pray. He did this at the beginning of his time in ministry and in the Garden of Gethsemane and so many times in between. Lord, teach us to pray. This is not the prayer practice that the disciples had learned through their Jewish upbringing. The Abrahamic prayers that they had been taught in childhood looked and felt more like a servant beseeching their master, like a peasant crying out to the king. The prayers of the disciples' youth were largely proclaimed aloud and in public. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. Blessed be the name of the glory of his kingdom forever and ever, says the Shema. Jesus did things differently. Granted, Jesus always did things differently, didn't he? Blowing the disciples' minds and flipping the script on them again and again. Perhaps these mission-weary disciples realized that this intimate prayer practice was something that they needed to. Perhaps they saw in Jesus someone who had spent time with what Mother Teresa called the inner bath of love into which the soul plunges. Jesus begins this instructional prayer with parental language. Call me Dad. Not the way you would address a king, but the way you would address someone with whom you have a relationship of love and safety. The intimate way this prayer begins sets a tone of grace and acceptance for the prayer, rather than distance of formality and judgment of so many of the prayers from the disciples' youth. It feels like a conversation that could be had with your closest friend or most trusted family member. Jesus goes on to suggest that the disciples take this familiar and familial approach even further. If a friend comes to your door in the middle of the night, asking for bread to feed her unexpected guest, that friend is going to keep knocking until you come and share your bread. Ask, seek, and knock, and do it again and again and again. Jesus goes on, even you humans want to give good things to your children. If they ask for a fish, do you give them a snake? If they ask for an egg, do you give them a scorpion? No. If you then, who are evil, Jesus says, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? These stories are telling us about God's heart to receive, to listen, and to be present with us in prayer. Lord, teach us to pray. Anything we stay with long enough changes us. Malcolm Gladwell popularized the idea that spending 10,000 hours on something makes you an expert at it. And I may not have reached 10,000 hours in my raspberry canes, but I'm working on it, and it's changing me. Luke's telling of Jesus' teaching on prayer seems to be less about getting the words right and more about approaching prayer with intimate persistence. Returning to it again and again in honesty and vulnerability and openness. Crying out to a God who is near, kind, loving, and listening. In Jesus' teachings on prayer, I hear the heart of his message. Come to me, all of you who are weary and weighed down, come to me, and you will find rest for your souls. Come to me, and you will find acceptance, forgiveness, and grace. Come to me, and I will heal your broken heart and bind up your wounds. The gift that God will give to the asker, seeker, and knocker, it's not the fulfillment of every request, but rather the Holy Spirit, the very presence of the triune God. It is in prayer, intimate, persistent prayer, that we meet the Holy Spirit and find comfort, wisdom, and courage to, like the disciples, return to the mission of bringing peace into this troubled world. Lord, teach us to pray. This is what the world needs. People who have soaked in the inner bath of love into which the soul plunges. The world needs people so rooted in the way of Jesus that they have the courage to love their neighbor and their enemy. People who are relentless with their empathy and compassion. People who will stand alongside the marginalized so that one day there will be no margin. This is what the world needs. Weary, heartsick humans who run out of words to pray, whose tears have run dry, who don't know what to do with their anger at the pain and suffering in the world, who are rumpled and limping and who continue to go out into the world to shine the brilliant light of Jesus and to share God's loving peace. Perhaps you and I can find rest for our souls and courage for the unthinkable, difficult calling of Jesus to be peacemakers in this world. Mary Oliver's book, Devotions, is one of my sacred texts. In her poem, Praying, she says this: "It doesn't have to be the blue iris. It could be weeds in a vacant lot or a few small stones. Just pay attention. Then patch a few words together and don't try to make them elaborate. This isn't a contest, but a doorway into thanks and into a silence in which another voice may speak. May you be nurtured by the divine voice of God. May you be healed and comforted and emboldened by the presence of the Holy Spirit. While for you it may not be picking raspberries, may you seek out and cultivate fresh practices of prayer that nurture your soul and sustain you for the work of love in this aching world. And may you continue to ask, seek, and knock. Lord, teach us to pray. Amen."